You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host, and today the business at hand is the business of guns and a safe way and a skilled way to use guns. And in the U.S., we've got a Second Amendment right that entitles ownership of guns, but not all gun owners are necessarily skilled in the use of their firearms. One business here in Sandy Springs and Norcross in the Atlanta metro area is the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Club and Ranges, plural, because there are two ranges. And they've helped thousands of both professionals and non-professionals to become knowledgeable in the care, the handling, the firing, and the purchase of firearms. And so I'm very pleased to have as my guest today Casey Rederer, the Director of Training for the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Club and Ranges. Welcome to the program, Casey.
Thank you very much for having me on, Ron.
Well, let's start, Casey, with a basic overview. You must encounter numerous people, maybe even this morning. I know you came from an event where you met a few different business people, and people must ask you all the time. It's that 60-second elevator speech, which you could probably give in a few different ways, but what do you say when people, particularly people who are unfamiliar, you know, they've heard of gun clubs, they've heard of firing ranges, but they aren't as familiar with the concept of a gun club and range. What do you say when they ask you, oh, wow, what is that, and what do you do?
Well, it's always interesting when I go to networking events, because inevitably you're going to have, you know, five CPAs and six bankers, and they're all trying to differentiate themselves. Then I stand up and say that I'm from a gun club, and everybody, you know, is now paying attention, which is always entertaining. But usually the first thing we try to do is offset the intimidation factor. A lot of times when people think of a gun range or even guns in general, there's a lot of overwhelming factors, the intimidation factor, it's always there. So one of the first things I try to do in my elevator speech is, one, just be professional, obviously, and really try to get across that our gun club is much more of a country club type of a feel. It's a very professional, it's a clean environment. We try to just offset the intimidation factors. We have a lot of people in there that work for us. Our staff is great. And they're good at communicating with people. They're good at making people, you know, feel welcome, feel comfortable, whether you are familiar with firearms, whether you know what you're doing with them, or if you've never shot a gun before at all and you just want to come in and see what it's like. We really enjoy kind of taking pride in being a facility that allows people to come in from kind of any walk in life and any experience level.
You know, I've always thought of gun use and the training and the skill associated with being a part of a gun club, very much like the martial arts. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, so-and-so has a black belt or is studying martial arts, and so they're the kind of individual who might want to be utilizing those skills. Whereas one of the things that you're taught is just actual control, you know, and so knowledgeable gun owners are what I consider to be good gun owners. Mm-hmm. And that's at the core of what the gun club does. And I know you have a variety of programs, and in fact, the gun club here in Sandy Springs, I'm not as familiar with the range in Norcross, but the Sandy Springs Police Department, which is just up the road, mm-hmm. 1,000 yards or so, uses the range as its official practice range. And I understand that some of the Roswell Police Department guys mm-hmm. less officially utilize the range. Are any of the Gwinnett County or Norcross police departments utilizing
You'll
the
see,
other range?
Yes, they will. They the DeKalb County comes over there a lot. You'll see officers from all over, multiple different departments coming over to utilize both facilities. And you're correct, Sandy Springs Police Department uses our range as their official training site, so they'll have all of their officers do qualifying and everything in our facility. They have some room for their ammunition and their firearms there at our facility as well, and they've been a great asset to us, and they're really great people to work with. That department's phenomenal.
Well, in fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, but I would imagine that the practice and possibly some training at the gun club is more advanced and actually adds to the skill level of the professionals of law enforcement much more than they might have had previously, because they may have taken a course and become certified, and it might be a part of their police department training. But really, on the job, there isn't a great deal. There's a myth about how much use of weapons there is among police departments. It's relatively minor on the job. Mm-hmm. It's the practice at a range that really keeps mm-hmm. them skilled. Is that correct?
That's very much, very much correct. The Sandy Springs police officers come in frequently, and training on their off time, they'll come in and use our facilities. And when they're on duty for qualifications and official training times, they'll come in all the time. The more time you spend in the range, the more time you spend with firearms in general, the more likely you are to be able to use them in civilian life for a personal protection role. Obviously, for law enforcement officers, if they get into a situation where they do need to use a firearm, the more they train, the more able they are to effectively use it and kind of end that bad situation as quickly as they can. Hopefully not with, you know, use of deadly force, but if it has to come to that, they're much more able, anybody is much more able to use a firearm effectively when they have been practicing with it.
That's right. And, you know, the training and the practice is what allows you to calmly execute. I mean, you know, the adrenaline might be flowing, but you have mechanisms in place mm-hmm. that allow you to draw your firearm and use it accurately.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Let's talk about the facility itself. I'm not as familiar with the Norcross facility, but if it's anything like the Sandy Springs facility, I know they went through great lengths mm-hmm. to make it a first-class gun range. And in fact, there was some concern from the surrounding community that it might be this loud facility as opposed mm-hmm. to the quiet facility that it actually is. Tell us a little bit about the facility.
That's very correct. The National Shooting Sports Foundation, NSSF, is actually labeled Sandy Springs and Norcross ranges as the only two five-star rated ranges in the state of Georgia. They are both top-notch facilities. The Norcross range was about 2 years ago when underwent a big construction, kind of a redo, and we bought the building from the previous owners, which was the American Classic Marksman, which is what it was from, I believe, 1991 until just a few years ago. And we bought the building when they left and gutted it and kind of redid everything. So it's a top-notch facility now. It's sound deadening. The sound insulation has been improved greatly. It's a pleasure to shoot in that facility. It's clean. It's nice. It's well lit. We really try to make it a five-star experience when you come in.
Let's talk about that rating. What is it that the NSSF looks for when they're giving you a five-star rating?
They're looking for a number of things. It's to my knowledge of it, it's very similar to the hotel ratings, 1 to 5 stars. They're looking at the facilities. They're looking at the staff that you have, what type of customer service you can offer, the equipment that you use in the facility to make sure that it's working properly, the lighting. I mean, there's just factors left and right. Just adding to the general feel when you come into the facility, especially with firearms. The firearm industry, gun ranges have notoriously been fairly dirty, kind of a dark, intimidating, kind of a hole in the wall in a strip mall type of a place. That's where I grew up shooting, was in places like that. And we've kind of tried to offset that and be a very much a country club type of a feel, and the NSSF is trying to support that nationally. So they came down and kind of thought our facilities were good enough to give the 5-star ratings.
Well, I would imagine that they're pleased that the Sandy Springs and Norcross gun clubs and ranges have taken that approach, just because it elevates the sport, the activity, and it takes it out of the dark ages, so to speak. Who's utilizing the gun club and ranges? Other than professionals, what's the demographic?
There are, specifically for the Sandy Springs location, there's just a whole lot of really the professional people coming in. We have corporate events left and right where people will come in and host a meeting in our training room and then go shoot on the range for an hour or so after the meeting. We have doctors, we have surgeons, we have nurses, we have lawyers, we have all sorts of people coming up from Buckhead, coming up from all around the North Atlanta area, coming because this is a clean range. It's a range that they feel comfortable coming to. It's a very professional environment. The customer service is excellent, and that type of thing. So that's kind of what they're looking for, especially in this area. So
I'm wondering, because you hear about situations, and you know Atlanta is not one of the worst urban environments for crime, but we certainly have our share of crime, and you do hear of armed robberies, intrusions. Just the last couple of days, some carjackings. You know, in a part of Atlanta, you mentioned Buckhead, and you know that's a fashionable district of Sandy Springs. I'm wondering if you see a little blip in inquiries following some of those events that have been publicized.
For sure. Every time I do a more specifically the basic course that we offer, our handgun fundamentals class, which I teach all of those here at the facility, almost every time we host a class weekly, there's at least one person that has decided to take the course, because either they themselves had a home intruder or something like that, or maybe somebody in their neighborhood got broken into, and everybody in the neighborhood's kind of on watch now. It kind of opened their eyes a little bit, and some of them maybe never really thought about having a firearm until their next-door neighbor had a break-in, and then they think, okay, well, what am I going to do if, you know, 2:30 in the morning somebody comes in, or 2:30 in the afternoon? It's actually almost a more common time to see that.
In fact, I don't think a lot of people think through the situation, and
most
if they did, they would arrive at the conclusion that it would be beneficial, potentially very beneficial, to be trained and to own a firearm. To thwart intruders, I myself imagine simply saying, "I'd hate to do this, but I'm armed, and you know, we can end this now if you'll just leave the premises." And you know, being able to offer up that that option,
and that's what firearms allow you to do. A lot of people ask me, "Well, what about, you know, the baseball bat that I have next to my bed, or anything like that?" And that is certainly an alternative, but the advantages of having a firearm specifically is it's a great equalizer, and it's an end-all, be-all way to protect yourself. You never wish, obviously, to kill anybody. I certainly don't ever wish that to happen. But at the end of the day, it is a defensive situation.
Well, a baseball bat could be extremely useful, particularly if you're able to, like, swing and hit that bullet.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here with Casey Rederer, the Director of Training for the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs and Ranges, and we'll be back with Casey Rederer right after this break.
Do your children know where their food comes from? At ConnectingFarmToFork.com, there's all kinds of ways to help your child understand how 300 million of us here in America stay nourished, clothed, and healthy. Activities, food facts, and farm visits help young people learn about America's hardworking farmers and have lots of fun doing it. Visit ConnectingFarmToFork.com today for a learning experience that'll really grow on you. ConnectingFarmToFork.com, brought to you by the people who care at Feedstuffs Food Link.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
This is Michael Gannett with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Casey Rederer, the director of training for the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Club and Ranges, because there are two ranges. It is one gun club. Let me just ask you, if you join one club, do you have a membership at the other?
There is an option for that. Okay. It's a little bit more expensive to be able to have a dual membership. On paper, they are two separate businesses, but we treat them like they're one.
So you can have that option?
That option does exist, yet. The basic membership is for one or the other, but there is a dual membership available that allow you to go to both.
Now, Casey, let's go back to the scenario that I refer to where, and I think a lot of people have real difficulty thinking through that very uncomfortable scenario of either an armed robbery or a home intrusion, and yet there have been a number of there just always are, and particularly in urban environments, an ongoing number of home intrusions, even in the seemingly safest neighborhoods. And when you do that uncomfortable task of playing through the scenario, I think a lot of people come to the logical conclusion that the best way to be prepared and to maybe even deter the escalation of that pretty ugly scenario is a firearm. So let's talk about, you mentioned off the air that you get asked a lot about that by people.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people in my classes ask about that. And what I usually tell them is it's always worth going through the what ifs in your head now. While you can do it calmly, you can think, as uncomfortable as it is to say, okay, what if somebody tries to carjack me or somebody tries to break into my house? What am I going to do? And it's not comfortable. Most people don't want to think through that. But if you do it now, you're much more prepared if, God forbid, it happens in real life. So a lot of people ask me, do I, in a hypothetical personal protective kind of a situation, whatever it may be, a lot of people ask me, well, you have a firearm for defense. Do I shoot to kill somebody? And the answer to that, I would say, is no. I don't shoot to kill somebody. I've never even been in a fist fight in my entire life. I've always been able to get out of situations like that, or more importantly, not get in them. So no, I don't shoot to kill, but I shoot to end the threat that's coming my way. So we never recommend shooting to wound, shooting at a leg or something like that, which is a very common thing that I have people ask me about, or shooting next to them to scare them away or something like that. You have to think, if they're not in their right mind or if they're on drugs and they don't feel pain, shooting to wound is not going to do anything. And shooting at somebody's leg while they're running at you is a very, very difficult shot to make. I mean, I would have a difficult time doing that, and I shoot guns every day. So no, I don't shoot to kill. I shoot to end the threat.
Especially a moving target in a dimly lit situation.
Exactly.
Like it's nighttime in a home.
Exactly.
Also, in terms of playing through the scenario, not to belabor this too much, but I really think that if people would go through the process of, I'm driving my car, I'm at an intersection, somebody comes up and says, get out of your car, or, aims a gun at you, you know, are they going to hijack the car with you in it? Are they going to allow you to get out of the car? And if you have a child, which is a scenario we hear mm-hmm. about more and more, you need to play that through. Are you prepared to give up your car and let someone go off with your child? Mm-hmm. As awkward as that scenario is, I think people need to play that through and also imagine an intruder in the house, possibly standing in their bedroom. You know, mm-hmm. not everybody has an alarm system, and even alarm systems are not foolproof in terms of people coming in. And so we're back to talking about training being at the core of having a distinct measure of control in that situation. So let's talk a little bit about the kind of training programs that the Sandy Springs and Norcross gun clubs and ranges offer. In fact, let's start with handgun fundamentals, which mm-hmm. kind of plays into what we're talking about, because in most cases you're not going to be traveling in your car with your rifle or even
generally
able
to
utilize it. Yeah. Let's talk about what you cover in handgun fundamentals.
The handgun fundamentals is our most popular course. It is the basic introduction to firearms and specifically to handguns. We offer it in a co-ed male and female class, which is just the normal handgun fundamentals. We offer it in a women's only course as well. Basically, what it does is it takes you through whether you've never touched a gun before in your life, or it's just been 10 or 15 years since you have. It goes through all of the safety aspects of firearms, the cardinal safety rules, general principles that are good to think about. It goes through the anatomy of the pistol systems, whether you want to use a revolver or semi-automatic, whether it's for personal protection or just for fun as a hobby. We kind of go through it all so you have a good idea, kind of a pro and con list of what you're going to get if you use a revolver versus a semi-automatic, and even further, a hammer-fired or a striker-fired system. We go through all of that so that the people in the course have a really good education, to a really good amount of knowledge to make that educated decision on what firearm they purchase. And then it goes, lastly, into what we call the seven fundamentals, which is basically, how do I pick this tool up and use it effectively? Things like your grip, your stance, how the sights work, proper trigger pull, all of the practical things to be able to shoot well. It goes through all three of those things in theory in the classroom, and then you spend about an hour to an hour and a half actually in the range with the instructors, kind of putting all those theories into practice, and you get a chance to shoot both revolvers and semi-automatics, and everything's provided for you. So it's a kind of a comprehensive come as you are, and you'll get everything you need to be able to have a good basic knowledge of firearms.
Now, does the course cover small caliber to large caliber handguns?
We discuss a lot of different topics with caliber in general. It's not something that we spend a whole lot of time with, simply because that's a rabbit trail that takes hours and hours to thoroughly go through, just because there's so many different cartridges out there. We use 9mm semi-automatics and we use 38 special revolvers in the course. We go through the information on the different calibers that you are likely to come in contact with, anything from a 22 up to a 45, 44 Magnum, things like that.
And a person seeking out training that comes in with their own handguns, plural, and says, I've got the 38 and I've mm-hmm. got a 357 Magnum, could you show me how to use each? Is that something that's done more one-on-one, or can they bring their handguns to a course and learn a little bit
about
both?
We have we offer private lessons as well, and that's a lot of times for people that are a little bit more knowledgeable already. They're not really starting at the ground floor. They have a little bit of knowledge, but they're not super comfortable yet. So a lot of times they'll like to do a private lesson. But it happens in both. We'll have people that come take the regular course that have their own firearms. The most common thing to see it was a gift. Their father gave them a gun or something like that, and they've never had one before, so they they brought it so that they could get familiar with that specific firearm. Happens all the time, and it is a wonderful thing to do. It is good to be knowledgeable on the specific tool that you're using, because there are a lot of differences between the different types of firearms out there.
Right. In fact, a 38 Special is a totally different animal than a Glock, you know, 9mm,
oh, for sure,
or a 44 automatic, or a, you know, 357 revolver. Let's talk just for a moment about how the women's handgun fundamentals course differs from the more general fundamentals course.
The women's course is a really fun class. It's a course that allows women that may be a little bit more intimidated, a little bit more overwhelmed, maybe not as comfortable, to be able to come take the course in an environment where they have support of other women in the class there. It's obviously women's only type of a course, and it really allows them to ask questions specific to females. For concealing firearms on themselves, if it's going to be in a purse or an inside-the-waist holsters, things like that. There's usually a lot of questions that women have that are specific to women, and that class offers them the opportunity to get those questions answered, whereas the co-ed class may not have the time because you have everybody asking questions, and maybe they're a little bit more intimidated to speak out and ask.
Do you actually go through the specifics of drawing the firearm from a purse versus a waist holster?
The specifics, the skills of coming out of a holster work is what we call it. We do not cover that in the basic handgun course. We do offer an intermediate class. A number of different classes will go over that. The concealed carry skills class that we offer, it's taught by a gentleman named Claude Warner, who's been a firearms instructor for over 40 years. He's a former Army officer. He does a lot of the work in that course, concealed carry skills. It goes over where are you going to conceal it, where's a good place, inside the waist, in a purse, something like that. And it's definitely something that you need training on. That's one of the things I'm adamant about. If you're going to come out of a holster, if you're going to carry a gun on you, it is very dangerous if you have not been trained to do so. It's very dangerous to pull a firearm out at all in a calm environment. It's dangerous to do that without proper training, and then you multiply that danger when you do it with the adrenaline of a personal protective type of a situation.
I actually recall a quick draw and shoot competition that I took part in with a 357 Magnum that was holstered, and I really hadn't practiced using a holstered 357 Magnum, and I in that those few moments, I had this image of Barney Fife pulling out his holstered weapon. Fortunately, I got good at it really fast and scored really well in that competition. But it's a large weapon, and it takes more than a fraction of a second to pull it and have it aimed. We're here with Casey Redderer, the Director of Training of the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs and Ranges, and we'll be back with Casey Redderer to talk more about this very unique business and his unique job right after this break.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Quick Stakes, that's QUIK stakes are not just for surveyors. They are great for family and community gardens. Go online to www.quickstake.com or contact your local land surveying supply dealer and get you a box of Quick Stakes. You'll love them every year when you plant your garden. Again, that's Quick Stakes, Q-U-I-K stakes, the truly preferred way to stake and identify what's in your garden now.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host, and we're here with Casey Rederer, the director of training of the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs and Ranges, because there are two clubs and two ranges, one in the North Metro area of Atlanta, Sandy Springs, and the other in Norcross, which is due east, northeast, of the metro area and an adjacent city, the city of Norcross. And we've been talking about their two very fine facilities and their two very fine training programs, which Casey Rederer is the director of. And we've been talking about the range of people that come to utilize the gun clubs and ranges. And we've been talking about some of the firearms. But, Casey, let's... well, let's actually touch on that situation related to women and the use of firearms, and then I want to go into just a little bit more discussion about the range of firearms that can be rented at the facility or purchased at the facility through the facility. A lot of folks think, women don't want to have anything to do with firearms, when much of that factor of intimidation is due to unfamiliarity. And I would imagine that soon after they become familiar, and even before they become highly skilled, the intimidation factor is not a factor at all. And I referenced to you when we were off the air that I saw one of the photos at one of the facilities. It might have been the Sandy Springs facility. It was a group of women. You would think that they were at a jewelry party. I mean, they really were posed, but smiling big. They had ear gear as if they were about to or had just come off of the range. But let's talk about that very subject of women either learning how to become not very intimidated or not being very intimidated to begin with, just lacking the skill. Well, just like men, actually.
Exactly. The idea, I think, in the firearms industry in general has been a very male-dominated industry. And the idea that that women are scared of guns or intimidated by guns or don't like guns is just false. We have women that come in all the time that have never shot a gun before at all, that are not scared of it. They really are interested. They want to come in. And honestly, Ron, a lot of times they outshoot the guys that are in the class. They are some of the best students to teach. They're very attentive. They're very just their attention to detail is phenomenal, and it makes them very, very sharp with a gun.
Actually, you know, Casey, listeners out there can't see that I'm smiling, but I'm smiling because I meant to ask you that very question. Do you find that very often women, because they're often more attentive mm-hmm. in training situations than a lot of guys, particularly training of this nature, you know, a lot of guys come in and they just, you know, the macho factor or previous exposure to guns, you know, they've shot them on the farm, or you know, they're hunters. You know, they shot guns growing up, but they never really became skilled in marksmanship, and so you have women who aren't carrying that kind of baggage, who are right there learning from day one how to use a firearm. And I was wondering whether or not they actually, in many cases, became better. Marks women, we'll call them, but better marksmen and and just more knowledgeable about the use of their weapons.
We find that a lot. What it takes to be to become a good marksman and to learn in the training sessions really well is just that the ability to listen, the ability to really kind of break down in your head what you need to do, specifically dexterity in your fingers for the trigger control. The idea of being accurate only requires two things. It requires your sights to be on target, and it requires you to pull the trigger in a manner that does not move your sights before the bullet leaves the barrel. And the type of people that learn very quickly, that become very skilled very quickly, are the type of people that don't have an ego problem. They don't have all that baggage, as you called it. They simply listen to the instructors, and the instructors are explaining, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And oftentimes women are right out of the gates just very accurate. Just yesterday I taught three ladies that came in our class, and they were all within about 3 inches of the bullseye itself at over 15 feet. I mean, they're just dead on for never having shot a gun before in their lives. And just that quick, they are just right on it.
I'm just not surprised. I know that there are a lot of men and women who know how to reduce it down to the mechanics of vision and trigger pull, if they learn how to hold their breath in between there, all the better. What about my sense is that there may be a growing number of women who have membership in clubs like the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs. Is that the case? Do you know what the numbers are over the last decade or two? Are there is there an incline, and is it a steep incline, if at all, in women who are becoming skilled in the use of firearms?
There definitely is. I don't have the exact statistics, obviously, off the top of my head, but I can tell you for sure, in the last 10 years that I've been shooting and kind of in the industry, specifically in the competitive shooting world, USPSA or IDPA is the two big competitions that you can go out and do, there has been a great increase in female shooters coming out, and female shooters that are competing right up there with the top male shooters as well. They're doing very, very well, and there's just been a great increase, and I think it's been a great addition to the sport in the last few years. It's been obviously, like I mentioned earlier, a very male-dominated sport, and it's kind of changing. There's a lot of female shooters. One of our instructors at the Norcross locations, also the assistant manager, Sarah, is taking to competitive shooting greatly, and she's doing very well. And it's really it's an awesome thing to see. It's an awesome thing to witness.
In fact, one of the women here locally, Cindy Gentry, is a woman who was on the board of the Sandy Springs Business Association before it became the Chamber of Commerce, which is how you and I met, through the Chamber of Commerce. Cindy is a Olympic medalist in shooting, and so she's, and that was a few years back. So she was, one of that new breed of women that are highly skilled in the use of a firearm. What about the professionals? Does the local police department, the Sandy Springs Police Department, that officially uses the Sandy Springs range as its practice facility, are they required to come in on a regular basis and get checked out?
I'm not sure how often they are required to. I know that they are. Their qualification is an intense program. It's a very good qualification, which is unfortunately, honestly, a rarity. A lot of police departments around the country, their qualification requirements have been going down, and they need more officers out there. They're short-handed, so they make it a little easier to pass the shooting test. And Sandy Springs is not one of those. Their qualification course is excellent, and their officers come in all the time. I don't know exactly when and how often. I know that there's been agencies that I mentioned Claude Warner, one of our instructors that works with us, that we kind of hire out to come in and teach a lot of our classes. He was telling me the other day of an agency that he knew of that he described their qualification as their requirements. It wasn't even in the state of Georgia, but their requirements is pathetic. It was something that he said he could – he hasn't tried this, obviously, but he said he felt like he could legitimately pass that test blindfolded. And that's just an unacceptable idea in my head, is how can a law enforcement agency, you know, have a requirement that's that low? So I'm glad to see that the local agencies around Sandy Springs, Sandy Springs PD especially, take training very seriously. They make sure their officers, if God forbid they have to use their firearms, they make sure their officers know what they're doing with them and are effective.
I would think that most police departments, if they thought through it, they'd want their officers to have the mindset of knowing that they have the skill mm-hmm. to utilize their firearm. Mm-hmm. Just that confidence
peace of mind,
factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. In short of even using the weapon, just the peace of mind and the confidence that comes with knowing that you have the skill level to use it effectively. And it's a question I should have asked Police Chief Ken DeSimone of Sandy Springs when I had him on the program a few weeks ago, about how often they're required. My guess is it's probably annual. You know,
at the minimum, it's annual. I would actually even guess that it's biannual.
Okay,
I would assume so. And for the Sandy Springs, knowing the guys, knowing
semi-annual.
The character,
twice a year.
Yeah. Knowing the character of that department, they're very solid for sure.
Well, and it has a lot to do, I think, with the military background of some mm-hmm. of the leadership of the Sandy Springs yep. Police Department,
as well
as the city manager, who mm-hmm. Both the police chief and the city manager are active in the military reserves. So they have that mindset mm-hmm. that you need to have that full range of skills. Sport or protection? How does that break down? And again, you may not have any statistics or mm-hmm. anything on record, but what do you sense women and men coming in for protection maybe initially and then evolving to enjoying it as a sport? How does that
work? It happens a lot. Most of the people that take our basic handgun fundamentals course are there for personal protection, just the idea of getting comfortable with a firearm, maybe because there's one in the house now, a number of people that have just gotten married into a family that has guns, so they want to feel comfortable with it. A lot of people just want to have that ability to have that kind of end-all, be-all advantage with a peace of mind. But there are a lot of people that come in for the sport. The turnover is pretty high as well in terms of people that come in normally only intending to use or to get into firearms for the defensive side of life and end up really enjoying it and finding that it's a hobby for them. The sport of it is quite soothing. It's a phenomenal stress reliever, which sounds counterintuitive when you first think about it because it's an overwhelming thing to do. But I find a lot of times when you go into the range, you go into the booth, it's a time where you can forget everything else that's going on, and it's just you, the firearm, and the booth. It's very calming.
Here's another thing that's very counterintuitive, and there may be folks out there who can't wrap their heads around this, but there's a Zen factor, mm-hmm. you know, the concentration that it takes to effectively hit a target. Mm-hmm. You know, is a concentration that is not unlike some meditative states. We're going to be taking a break. We're here with Casey Redderer, the Director of Training for the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs and Ranges, and we'll be back with Casey Redderer right after this break.
Solution providers, are you aware of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's multiple marketing platforms? you're invited to get a little closer to IHC with our Solution Provider Membership Marketing Program. Through IHC's exclusive Solution Provider Membership, your business gets an all-access pass to engaging your prospects. This membership embeds your business within the Institute, which immediately aligns your company, its solutions, and your key executives with the nationally credible IHC brand, and shows your support of the healthcare consumerism movement as a market-wide solution. And that's just the beginning. Contact IHC's Managing Director, Brent Macy, today at bmacy@theihcc.com.
Today's consumers find themselves faced with a greater variety of choices than ever before, both in the food they eat and the information they receive about that food. Feedstuffs Food Link was created to provide you with a balanced source of information for making decisions about your family's balanced diet. Visit FeedstuffsFoodLink.com to learn about your food directly from the source, the people who work every day to provide it. FeedstuffsFoodLink.com, connecting farm to fork.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Casey Redder, the Director of Training for the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs and Ranges, because there are two facilities, both state-of-the-art gun ranges, and we've been talking about the training programs that are available at the two facilities that Casey oversees. And let's talk for a moment about the range of firearms that a person can rent at the two facilities, and then we'll talk about what's available for purchase. What kinds of firearms can you rent at the facilities?
Well, we have over 60 different pistols alone at both facilities to be able to rent. The world of firearms, when you get down to trying to decide which one you want to purchase, I use the analogy of kind of hunting for a new car a lot of times in my classes, because there's just so many different options out there. You know, do I want a pickup truck? Do I want a sedan? Do I want a minivan or anything like that? What engine size? You know, X, Y, and Z, all the different factors. There's a lot of similarities between that and firearms. Do I want a revolver? Do I want a semi-automatic?
Domestic or international? Yeah. Smith & Wesson to Beretta?
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. There's Glocks from Austria. There's Beretta from Italy. There's then the American manufacturers. All the different firearms out there make it a little overwhelming when you're trying to see, okay, which gun do I want? And one of the things that that makes me cringe is when I go to other gun ranges, or even growing up when I was in ranges, I would hear people say, oh, this is a good gun for you. And they'd be looking at, you know, somebody that's 5'8" and has this type of ability. Oh, you can't handle this. Or what's most common is, oh, you're a woman, you're a girl.
Small gun, big person, big gun. Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. You know, it almost just makes me mad, because they're going to get somebody that's new to guns, and they're going to just give them this gun and not even give them an option. And there's so many options out there. It drives me crazy when people say, oh, you're a girl, you need a revolver because you can't handle anything more than that. And that's completely untrue. So the firearms that we rent, we try to have a good kind of example of every type of gun out there. We're semi-automatics, hammer fired in 9mm, 40, 45, 357 SIG, and then striker fired systems in the same calibers and all the different sizes. For the most part, every manufacturer is going to make generally a small, medium, and a large size pistol in every caliber. And that's usually the easiest way to narrow it down, is what caliber do I want? Do I want to deal with a 45, which kicks a little bit more but has a little bit more effective use in a defensive situation? Or do I want the 9mm, which I can shoot a little bit faster, a little bit more accurately in a competition setting, and because it doesn't have as much recoil? That's usually the easiest way to narrow it down. And the ability to come into our range and grab a Glock 9mm that's, you know, a medium size, and then go grab the Smith & Wesson M&P, which is a comparable style of firearm in maybe a 45 in a large size or something like that. In, you know, 2 hours of shooting at the range, you can kind of side by side be able to compare all these different guns, and it allows you to make a very educated decision instead of just going out saying, oh, that feels good in my hand, and buying it without ever shooting it before. You're probably not going to be too happy with it.
Well, also different firearms for different situations. Mm-hmm. I have some family members who are, you know, gun enthusiasts and law enforcement that are almost as comfortable with their larger caliber Glocks as they are with their smaller caliber Berettas. Mm-hmm. And they're worn, shall we say, in a different manner. Mm-hmm. Wearing a nice tailored suit, they might not carry the Glock. Mm-hmm. They could. But, you know, and depending on, again, what the scenario is, mm-hmm. They might not take a Glock to a wedding, but but they could. An even broader range of weapons available for sale. You know, mm-hmm. you can't carry necessarily everything you sell. You can't have it available as a rental. I don't think that would be a smart, cost-effective rental policy. But you and I talked about there are up to 60 weapons, 60 firearms that, you know, and in fact, you know, a firearm can and is one with being a weapon, but in many situations, particularly sporting situations, it's not intended as mm-hmm. a weapon. It's, you
exactly.
know, it's a sporting piece of equipment. So up to 60 separate firearms available for on-premise rental, but up to three times that many that can be purchased.
Going back real quick to the verbiage that we're using, the term weapon has been around for a long time, and a lot of people in the firearm industry now, as it's changing, try to avoid using the word weapon. There's people on both sides of that fence. I mean, if it's in a defensive situation, certainly if it's in a military or law enforcement situation, I believe it is a weapon. That's what it is. I think of them as a tool. If it's a defensive situation, this is a tool that I have at my disposal to protect myself. And we do offer, in the sales side of the floor at our facility, both facilities, we have hundreds of different types of firearms, whether it is going to be a tool for a defensive kind of a purpose, or if it's, like you said, a piece of equipment for sporting. We have a lot of different guns. We have all the major manufacturers, like your Sig Sauer, Glock, H&K, Beretta, and so on. The list is almost endless in pistols, and we also offer a large assortment of rifles, shotguns, and all that type of stuff as well.
Do you have a couple of personal favorite tools that you like to use?
I do. And you'll... It's one thing when you go to a gun range and you ask somebody what their opinion is, you will get it and then some, and you'll get everybody else's opinion that heard edgewise in the story too coming in. My personal favorite is a Glock 19. It is the medium-sized 9mm that Glock makes, simply because it's one of the most reliable firearms that's ever been made. I know it'll work if I need it to. It's
which,
just the
which
right
by
size.
The way, is one of the favorite, I think, weapons of professionals of
yes,
of
law enforcement use
like the medium sized
yep.
Glock. Yeah,
19. Yep, that's a very popular one.
And is there another that you like to use on the range?
I really enjoy using the Glock 34, which is their competition version. It's the little bit longer slide, otherwise basically identical to the Glock 19. It's just a longer barrel, a little bit bigger frame. Works very well for competitions and just kind of the sport side of things. And
more,
then I have the
more
Glock
accuracy,
19.
Longer distance.
Exactly. The accuracy is at the ranges you're dealing with. In what I mean ranges is the distance to the target, not the gun ranges. That we're dealing with in pistol competitions, you're not going to notice a huge difference between a 4-inch and a 5-inch barrel in terms of just accuracy. Now, if you're going to go out to 100 yards with a pistol, you will. What it really gives you is the longer barrel allows more control. The recoil is not quite as snappy, and the firearm doesn't come up quite as much with the longer barrel, so it allows you to put more rounds on target accurately in a shorter period of time.
Short barrel rifles and silencers, mm-hmm. are those?
We are a Class 3 dealer as well, which Class 3 is the term to describe any of the NFA items like fully automatic machine guns, short barrel rifles, SBRs, shotguns, short barrel shotguns, and suppressors as well, silencers as popular culture calls them. We sell a lot of the suppressors there at the shop. We have a lot of the SBRs as well, short barrel rifles. They're very, very popular. We keep them in the shop locked up. Until the tax stamp comes back. The process is basically you have to get a tax stamp approval from the government, and it's an extra $200 tax on every NFA item. You simply apply for it, and the process is about a year long to wait to get approved. You're allowed to shoot it at our facility. You just can't leave the building with it until your tax stamp comes back and everything's approved and good to go. Most people around here only usually come to our facility to shoot it anyway, so they just can't take it home.
The police departments, are they trained in the use of those automatic weapons?
A lot of them are. It varies by department, and it varies depending on the department. Like APD, Atlanta Police, their department is so large, they have specific classes. If the officers want to get certified to carry, let's say the AR-15 or something like that as their patrol rifle, there's another specific class to carry the short-barreled version of it. Generally, it's going to be much more of a tactical type of thing. Most patrol officers don't have a need for the short-barreled. A lot more the guys on the SWAT teams, things like that. And that's the whole purpose behind the short-barreled rifle, is it gives you more maneuverability.
When did you first get exposed to firearms?
When I was about 12, my grandfather's former Green Beret from Vietnam, he came in and taught me how to shoot. It's been a huge hobby through middle school, through high school, through college. I was training to go into the military for my entire life, ended up deciding to go the family route and have a family instead of going to the military. But it's been a hobby and a passion for a long time, and got the job at the gun range right out of college, so...
Well, it sounds like you're very well suited to be the director of training at the Sandy Springs and Norcross Gun Clubs. I want to thank you, Casey, for taking the time to be my guest on the Business Hour. You've been listening to the Business Hour here at America's Web Radio. We're on Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. Have a great Saturday, Sunday, and we'll see you on the radio next week.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.